This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So we're continuing to ask the question, should Christians fast and pray? And you know, there are a lot of Catholics, Roman Catholics this time of the year, during the Lenten season, that fast and pray leading up to the celebration or the memory of Christ's crucifixion, his death, his burial, and the celebration of his resurrection, as focusing on the suffering that he did for us. Many Roman Catholics actually set aside certain things and spend extra time in prayer and may fast. Quite often, though, they're just fasting maybe a certain type of food. Maybe they're eating not red meat on Friday, but they're eating fish on Friday. But we're looking at not just Roman Catholics, but all Christians. Should Christians fast and pray? And obviously, we know that Christians should pray, but many people don't believe and don't practice that practice fasting. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, moreover, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast, if God leads you to fast. He didn't say, if you fast during the Lenten season. He just said, when you fast. So it's a presupposition there that his followers would fast. And you might say, well, you know, that was for his disciples, but I'm not a disciple. Well, repent of your sins and believe God, and you can be a disciple. Discipline yourself. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined follower of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you should be a disciple. You should be disciplining yourself to follow him. We know that Jesus actually fasted and prayed on several occasions, including before his ministry began. He fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted at the end of that. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 4. By the way, he was filled with the Holy Spirit before his 40 days of fasting and prayer. But after 40 days of fasting and prayer, he returned in the power of the Spirit. So there's a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and also having the power of the Spirit. God wants us to walk in his power. And Jesus also talked about that there are certain types of demonic spirits that won't come out without prayer and fasting. And I don't believe necessarily that just means that when someone's demon-possessed, that you go and you pray and fast. In fact, if that were the case, then Jesus would have needed to pray and fast for a period of time for the demon to be cast out. But what did he do? He cast out the demon. Why? Because he had already been praying and fasting. It was a part of his life. It was something that he did on a regular basis. And because of that, he walked in the power of the Spirit. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 9, we see that the disciples of John came to Jesus. We read this in chapter 9 of Matthew, verses 14 through 15. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So again, it's a given that his disciples would fast when he was resurrected. And after the resurrection, we know he was on earth for a certain period of time, appeared to people. But then he ascended unto the Father to stay there until he returns to judge the earth. But during this time here on earth, his disciples, which should, if you're a Christian, should include you and should include me, we should actually fast. And this should be something that we should do on a regular basis, I believe, not just a certain period of the year and not just at certain circumstances. Now, when we look at fasting, one of the things, and we're going to talk about some of the things that you really should remember about fasting today. So fasting is something, again, that you should do as a Christian. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're saying, well, I'm really not a Christian, well, God offers this salvation to you. Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. You can repent of your sins. You know you're a sinner. You know that you have forsaken God and that you have violated his commandments. Repent of your sins and be saved. And then you can actually become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. How do you do that? Well, you read the Bible and you apply it to your life. You do what the Bible says. As the Bible says in John chapter 8, If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that's the recipe there. We abide in his word. We live in his word. We memorize it. We read it. We think about it. We ponder it. We mutter it. Today, we can do this way easier than they could do it back then. Back then, they had to carry a scroll around. Back then, any type of the Bible had to actually be handwritten. Today, the Bible can be mass-produced, and it can be produced. You can read it on your phone. You can read it on your tablet. You can read it on your computer. You can have your phone read it to you. You can have your tablet read it to you. You can have your TV read it to you. There's so many ways that we can abide in the Word of God today. You know, when I was a kid, my parents bought me, back then, you didn't have smartphones and smart speakers. I mean, people have smart speakers today. I mean, if you have a Google speaker or an Alexa speaker, you can ask your speaker to play the Bible to you and it will. We didn't have that back then. We had cassette tapes, and they bought me the Bible on cassette tapes, and it was a dramatized New Testament, and I had an auto reverse tape player. And I would actually play one of those tapes, and I would change it out periodically, maybe every day. I would put another tape in. You know, I got to where I could hear the music and hear the noises, the background noises, and know what passage was coming up because I was listening to the Word of God just at a low level, but still it was coming in and I was hearing it. So there's so many ways that you can hear the Word of God today. And this can help you be his disciple. But some things to remember about fasting. So although fasting should be a part of every believer's life, remember, Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast, the length, manner, and substance of the fast are between you and God. There are people that can do more than other people. There are, you know, You may have heard and you may have read, we'll read a little bit in the Bible about some people that went on 40-day fast, and Jesus went on a 40-day fast that we've read about. We read about that last week and again mentioned it this week. But 40 days, and I know people that have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's not something that is easy. But it is something that does, for those who have done it, it's a tremendous and profound, makes a profound impact on their lives. But You know, I've actually had intestinal surgeries. I've had about half of my intestines removed. And because of that, I actually don't absorb as much nutrients from my food. I'm skinny because of that. I mean, that's a big part of why I'm thin. You know, I do also watch what I eat, but you know, even if I didn't watch what I eat, I would have to try really, 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 really hard to be fat. It would take, you know, I would have to be eating all of a whole bunch of the wrong types of food. I don't have as much fat as some other people do. For me to fast 40 days and 40 nights would be probably impossible. I mean, I might be able to do it, but I definitely wouldn't be able to do anything else during that time. So, you know, different people have different limitations. You might have some limitations that I don't have. Some people, when they fast food. You know, we mentioned already just fasting red meat on Fridays. You know, to me, that doesn't seem like a huge sacrifice. You know, I fast all meat. I'm actually vegan, so I don't eat any meat at all. But you know, there are people that maybe that's a big sacrifice to you. You know, if it is, then, and that's what you believe God wants you to do, then do it. And by the way, you don't have to just do something during Lent. You can do this all throughout the year. There are some people that will fast their dessert. There are people that, in fact, my mom went on a sugar fast when I was a teenager, and I went on it with her. And you know what? Sometimes you go on a fast and you realize, wow, I feel so much better on this fast. I'm just going to continue. I mean, you can't do that with food, obviously. You would only live for, you know, 80 or 90 days or so if you didn't eat food. But you know, if you're looking at just taking something out of your diet that is probably bad for you anyway, you could just leave it out of your diet. And I actually went on that sugar fast, and I've had it, you know, I had a few relapses, but for the most part, you know, since that time, I probably have only eaten sugar maybe 2 years out of that time. So, you know, there are things that you can do. Some people go on what's called a Daniel fast, and you can read about Daniel and Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't want to eat the king's food. You know, they knew that the king's food had been sacrificed to idols. They didn't want to eat that. They didn't want to eat. And, you know, they were Jewish. They didn't want to eat the food that had the blood in it, the meat that had the blood in it. They wanted to eat kosher food. And so they actually asked for vegetables to be brought to them. And you can read about that in the book of Daniel. Some people call that the Daniel fast, and they go on this Daniel fast. And some people do that for 40 days and 40 nights. And again, you could do that. And you might say, well, you know, I was talking to someone the other night at CareNet's banquet, and they were saying that they fast at the beginning of every year, and they feel so much better. And they said, I don't know why we don't just continue eating that way. And again, I don't think they were going on just a total food, you know, fasting all food, but they were eating differently for a period of time. And they noticed not only a benefit spiritually, but they also noticed a benefit physically as well. So, and you know, there are some people that say, hey, I'm just going to continue that for the rest of my life. And you could definitely do that. The Bible even talks about, you know, there are certain types of food you could abstain from. The Bible even talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that husbands and wives can, for a short period of time, abstain from physical intimacy with each other so that they can dedicate themselves to God. So, you know, just pray and ask God how He would have you to fast. There are people that don't eat any food when they fast. There are people that don't eat any food or drink any water. There are some limitations to that, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But just, you know, pray and seek God and ask God what He would have you do and what He would have you give up for Him. So fasting can have benefits you physically as well as spiritually, your body, soul, and mind as well. One of the things, as you fast, you have more time to pray and seek God. You know, we talked last week about the revival that broke out when I was a kid, and my dad was teaching at Palm Vista, and there were a few churches that came together. And one of the things that happened, a lot of the teenagers that went to the high school, instead of going to lunch, they were actually praying they were fasting and praying. They were in the chapel praying to God. So you can take that time. You know, it takes time to eat food. It takes time even if you go to fast food, it takes time even to get your food, even if you're in a fast food line. But just realize you can take that time that you would be eating, that you would be preparing the food or buying the food, and you can actually spend that time in prayer. John the Baptist said this about Jesus: he must increase, but I must decrease. And really, that's the call for every Christian. As we come to Christ, we need to decrease ourselves and let more of God come through us. Less of me, more of God. He must increase and I must decrease. The Bible also talks about crucifying the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, we read, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So you see, the crucifixion of the flesh, the Bible talks about this in Romans chapter 6 also, that when we come to Christ, that our flesh dies. It dies to sin, but then we're alive to obey God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, we read, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So you see this idea of crucifying the flesh, of disciplining our body. There's a huge amount of discipline. This is one of the benefits of fasting, is there's a huge amount of discipline. Why? Because you need food. Your body needs food. You need nourishment. You need water. You need whatever it is that you're going to fast. You need that on a regular basis. We do need nourishment. You know, I mean, if you're fasting dessert, you know, you're fasting sugar, you probably don't need sugar. You know, you need some sugar in the right form, in the form of fruit, in the form of things that are sweet that God has created. But you don't need to eat a pie. That's not a need. But when we're talking about food, that is something that we need. When I was a teenager, I started fasting. And I remember when I first started fasting, I wanted food so bad. And I would go to the cupboard, to the cabinets, and I would open them up and I would look at the food. And I wanted it so bad. And I would tell myself, "You can't have any of that. You're fasting." But I wanted to, it's like I wanted to be close to it. But it was a discipline, and I disciplined myself. And let me tell you, that does help. It carries over into a lot of other areas of life. And what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians, disciplining his body, bringing it into subjection. You know, there are things that our body wants to do, that we want to do, that are good. Certainly nourishing ourselves is good. But when we put aside nourishing ourselves and we say that God is more important than even my body, then what can happen is we're disciplining ourselves so that the things that our body and our flesh want to do that are wrong and that are sinful, we have more power, more control, more self-discipline to resist that temptation and to not do that. So this is something that is important. This is something that you should look at here and realize that we have this ability to, as we fast, you're going to develop some self-discipline and you're going to be able to discipline yourself. You're going to be able to run that race. As the Apostle Paul said, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't just assume that, and some people assume that because they go to church, because they pray, because they read their Bible, that they're going to heaven. The Apostle Paul didn't assume that. The Apostle Paul made sure that he was still disciplining his body so that he wasn't disqualified. So that even after he had preached to others, even after he had done what he should do, even after he had followed God's principles and God's commandments, that he wouldn't be disqualified, but he was disciplining himself so that he could actually run in such a way that he would win, that he would win the prize, that he would not be disqualified, but he would be qualified to enter into heaven. Now, I mentioned earlier about different ways of fasting. One thing that came to my mind is that there are people that fast from food, but they not only drink water, but they'll also drink maybe fruit juice or vegetable juice. And some people have juicers that make juice themselves. And so that's a type of fast as well. One of the things that we have a meal of the day that's called breakfast, which actually stands for break fast. So overnight, most of us, I mean, sometimes you might get up and you might eat some food in the middle of the night, but really it's best for you to eat and have some time for your body to digest that food and then to go to bed and to not eat until the morning. Or even later, you could break your fast later in the day rather than in the morning. And this is something that I do on a regular basis. And I'm not saying this, Jesus talked about not saying things to brag. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just letting you know when you wake up, your body is naturally getting rid of toxins overnight. Even if we lived in a totally pure society, we didn't have any toxins in our air, in our water, in our food. Your body, there's cells that are breaking down, and your body has to get rid of those, and those are toxins. And so in the morning, your body has been able to, throughout the night, has been able to get rid of all these cells. And it wants to get rid of that stuff. It's been able to compile and get ready to get rid of it. You get up and you eat food, and that process all stops, and the toxins stay in your body. So there is some benefit to actually delaying that first meal. And I actually do drink water. I drink juice. I run, and I run sometimes even half marathon distances with only water and carrot and other types of vegetable juice and electrolyte mix, and I'm able to do that 13.1 miles. I'm not weak. I don't have to get up and eat a big breakfast to do that. You have enough energy. If you're eating the right types of food, you can have enough energy. So there are people that will go even on an extended, maybe a 7-day, maybe a 40-day, however long, 3-day cleansing fast, where they're actually fasting from food, but they're drinking carrot juice or other types of fruit and vegetable juices. So when you fast, it does give you the opportunity to cleanse your spirit, to cleanse your soul, to bring your soul into alignment with God's word, but it also cleanses your body. So there are some physical benefits to fasting as well. But some of these benefits can be a little bit discomforting. So your body, we talked about toxins. Your body is going to release more toxins when you're fasting, at least in the beginning, because it's not working to digest the food, so it's going to have more time. Now, when those toxins come out, they can actually come out as a headache. You can actually get a rash. It's possible to even to start getting sick or to get a fever. Your body is just cleansing itself and getting rid of all the junk. Now, if it's coming too fast, maybe you might want to drink carrot juice or some other juice, if that's a little bit discomforting. I fast on a regular basis, and I still have headaches when I fast quite often. So this is something that that, you know, you can also just embrace it and say, when it's out of me, you know, I'm going to be healthier because of it. One of the things that happens that's a benefit is your body is able to rest and your digestive system is able to rest. And one of the things that's pretty unique about the digestive system, the entire lining of your digestive system is replaced every 5 to 7 days. So if you were to go on a fast for 5 to 7 days, your entire digestive system is going to be cleansed and healed. Now, this is something that one of the things that you need to realize is that after 3 days, your digestive system actually shuts down. So it's really important if you start eating again, if you do fast food and water for 3 days and you're not even drinking juice, it's important that you break that gently. Maybe break it with juices. Maybe break it with some soft fruit, some smoothie or something like that, to make it easy for your body to break into and in your digestive system to be turned back on. Now, Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 9, we read that he actually fasted from food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that's not normal to do that. That was actually a miracle for him to be able to do that. After 3 days of no water, you can actually start going a little bit loopy. I do know someone that did fast food and water for around 7 days, but they did have some medical supervision. Know that you're called by God to do that if you're going to do something like that. And we'll take this topic up in the future, but just know that you should be fasting. Pray to God and ask God what He would have you to give up, what He would have you to fast, how often He would have you to fast, and do what you can do and see what God can do in your life as you crucify the flesh, as you put down the flesh, and you actually spend more time in prayer and see if you can move from being filled with the Spirit to walking in the power of the Spirit as Jesus did. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after His death, His disciples would fast, and He didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
The Bible says that whatever your need is, that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So tonight, take your burdens and your cares to the Lord and leave it there. He's already provided.